We're going to start out here. Go to Romans chapter 1. You know, one of the things we need to do as believers is hold ourselves to the standard of God's word. You know, and we have to keep remembering that God's word is perfect. It's wonderful. It's unmatched and unequaled in every way. I mean, you think about that. It's perfect. What words are, you know, we always, at least when I was a kid growing up and we studied American history, we lauded and had great respect for the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and all that stuff. And they're great documents, but they're not perfect, not even close. So God's word is perfect. It's unmatched. It's unequaled in any way. You could read all of, you know, if you ever read philosophy, philosophy is kind of, there's two famous guys, I'm trying to think of who they were, in the mid-1900s, 20th century rather, Camus and somebody else, I can't remember. But they were both big atheists. And at the end of their life, they became Christians. They wrote all the stuff, and even today, you know, they teach and they show people to read their works. Can't remember the other guy's name. But anyway, it was Camus is one of them, and another guy, and they were like the most famous atheists in the world. And they wrote all these philosophies, and you know, they were greatly respected in universities, but they never teach that later on they rejected their atheism and turned to God. You know, it's kind of funny. So, we know what it says, or we need to know what it says, and it's in our minds. And yet we may say, what I think or do doesn't always match up. Or this is might what happened, or I just have to accept what's going on, you know. We can't always control everything in life. We all get curveballs. We all hit bumps in the road. But we can control our minds and we can go to God. And God says he will deliver us out of any situation. He will take care of us. He will watch over us. He's our sufficiency and our strength. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday as we were going through this thing. And I was thinking about the government is really anti-God. Because they want you to think that they're your sufficiency and they're going to meet all your needs and they're going to take care of every situation, which they can't do, obviously. They've been failing at it for not just our government, but all governments for thousands of years. So in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So that's a great statement about God's word. It's called, it's here, it's the gospel of Christ. Chapter 1 and verse 1 through 4 tells you what that gospel of Christ is. It's the gospel concerning the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and why God sent him to us. And it is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. What a great key. What an incredible thing to think about. The word of God is the power of God to those that believe. Unto salvation. The word salvation can be translated wholeness, deliverance, rescued, saved. That's what it's all about. And here it may be talking about saved or salvation in the sense of being born again and being whole. But in every situation that we have a need for deliverance, in every situation where we have a need for healing, when every situation where we have a need for salvation, it's the word of God that is believed, that is the power of God. You know, when Moses raised up his hands and the Red Sea departed, what did he do? He just listened to God, and God said, okay, just raise your hands and the sea's going to part and you're going to walk through. And he took that first step. And he kept walking and he kept believing and that water parted and That's what it was. It was the power of God because he believed. If he'd have turned around and said, I'm not doing that, wouldn't have happened. Then it says in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, or believing to believing. As it is written, the just shall live by believing. And that is true throughout the word of God from the very beginning all the way through. It's the just, the righteous, are to live by believing. That's what God wants for us, and that's what he tells us. We are to believe. The just are to live by believing. Let's go to Psalms. So we are to live by faith or believing. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 25. It says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. So the psalmist here is saying, you know, God, my life is in the dirt. It's really what it's saying. And word soul is life, and it's the dust is the dirt. You know, I'm in the dirt. I'm about as bad off as I can be, God. Quicken me, make me alive according to thy word. When it says according to thy word, when it says that, it's according to the standard of God. According to what God has said. You know, and God says that his word gives life. Let's go to 159, verse 159. you see the word according throughout the word, and when you read it, you have to read it in context, you know. And when it's in reference to God, it's according to what God has said, according to his standards. There's another place where it says, you know, people that are God rejectors will be judged according to their deeds. Well, those deeds are measured by the standard of God, right? God's standard. Verse 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Precepts are God's principles, God's laws, God's axioms, God's truth. And it says here, the psalmist says, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. How much loving kindness does God have?
Unlimited.
It's unlimited. There's another verse that says it fills the whole earth. The whole earth is filled with God's loving kindness. So is there enough for you and me? Sure. And will he quicken you? Will he energize you? Yeah, with his loving kindness. You just have to have confidence in him. You look to him. It's according to his loving kindness. What's the standard of God's loving kindness? Well, it's perfect. You know, we love and we're kind, but we're not perfect, are we? So sometimes our loving kindness is not always the answer. Or we can't always do everything we'd want to do to help people or to help ourselves for that matter. But God's loving kindness is unbounded. It's infinite. It's pure. It's perfect. And he can take care of any situation for us. So when we go to him, we look to him, and we ask him, he's willing to do it. We heard that in manifestations. You know, please come to me. I'll help you. What a cool thing. Let's go to Psalm 25. But again, it's all about understanding and knowing God's word. And that's why it's so important to know God's word rightly divided. Because if you there are many things that people misconstrue or misunderstand about God, aren't there? Because either, number one, they don't read God's word, or number two, they don't know how to read it correctly or understand it correctly. So then consequently, they believe the wrong things. How many Christians think that God punishes them when they make a mistake? How many Christians believe that God makes them sick because they've sinned? Or how many people think that God is, you know, maybe he'll heal me, maybe he won't. Or maybe he'll take care of me, or maybe he won't, or he likes you better than he likes me. And there are lots of people out there, lots of Christians, that's the way they think. And the reason is because they don't know what the Word of God really says. And so they have misconceptions, misunderstandings. And so they get cheated out of the blessings of God. Psalm 25, verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. You know, enemies in the Old Testament were usually, and let's see, this is a Psalm of David. David had lots of enemies. If you go back and read in Samuel and he just, you know, all the time had enemies. Even his own son turned against him and tried to kill him. One of his sons. He had many sons, but one of them was pretty rotten. And, you know, and so he said, God, you know, help me. Don't let my enemies get the best of me. But, you know, enemies come in many different forms. And in the New Testament, we know about, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? We're against spiritual wickedness from on high. So enemies come in all forms and all shapes and all different things. But God is there to protect us. You know, sickness and disease is an enemy. Financial crises and depressions and recessions, and those are enemies. You know, God says he'll take care of us through all those things. He'll protect us. He'll guide us. He'll show us. He'll do his best for us. So, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. You know, and God is a wonderful teacher. And he many times will teach you directly, or he'll give you somebody that will teach you. He'll set examples for you. Just reading the Word, you see many examples that we can learn from. Verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. In thee do I wait all the day. And the word wait, you know, is waiting in expectation and serving God and looking to him. And it says, lead me in truth and teach me. You know, God will teach you if you need help in understanding something, or you need to understand something in the Word, why not ask God to show you, to teach you? Verse 6, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Tender mercies and loving kindness. Because that's God. Tender mercy. He's not a wrathful God. He's not a punishing God. He's not an evil God. He's not a God that turns his back on his people. Ever. Again, you go back through the Old Testament and Israel turned their back on God many times. And then when they get in trouble, they turn back to him. And what would he do? Accept. He'd take them back. He'd take them back every single time. He does the same. He does more than that for us. He never will forsake us. Verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for my goodness's sake, O Lord. And of course, you know, we know that God's washed away our sins by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So he doesn't remember our sins, does he? They're gone. Jesus Christ paid the price for all our sins. He did it because, you know, he loved and God told him to, and he was an obedient son and he was willing to do it, and he got a reward for it, didn't he? God sat him at the right hand. Good and upright, verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in justice, in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. And meek means you're willing to learn. You want to know his word. You know, sometimes we have ideas or thoughts or things, and then the word says something and we go, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Or that's not the way I want to be. Or why do I have to do it that way? Do you ever have to try to teach somebody in a job and they don't want to do it the way you're supposed to do it? You know? And it's frustrating at times, isn't it? Because you know there's a right way to do things and there's a wrong way to do things. Now, some things you can do, you know, several different ways, but a lot of things is really one right way to do it. And if you try to teach somebody and they don't want to do it that way, it's hard because then they're going to screw it up. See? And so God, you know, when we're meek to God, he can show us the right way to do it. He can show us the right way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. What a great thing. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. You know, and he already has. But, you know, we're meek to God. You know we make mistakes. We don't want to make mistakes, and we don't want to go against his word, but we're stupid sometimes. So we do. So what do? Oh, I'm so bad, God will never bless me again. No, we just are thankful to God that he's a forgiving God and a loving God, and we move forward. Verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. You know, and feareth the Lord, there is to reverence the Lord, to be in awe of God, to have great respect and honor God. It says, you know, he that feareth the Lord, him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. He'll open your eyes. He'll teach you. He'll help you. And you'll prosper in the way. Okay, let's go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. So here again, it's have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness. And that's the standard of God's loving kindness. It's according to his word and his loving kindness that he has mercy. And mercy is, you know, it's lots of things. It's not putting the burden on you or accusing you of anything, but rather it's when you're in trouble, it's offering help. You know, you see, used to be churches and places, you know, Mercy Hospital, right? Well, it's kind of from the origin of what mercy means. It means to help, to offer a hand, loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And God's not just blotted them out, but he's washed them because of his tender mercies, because of his concern for us. Let's go to Psalm 119 again. But it's always according to God's standard, not our standard. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You know, if we want to have a great life, you know, cleanse his way. It's, you know, if we want to live a good life and do things, we do it according to his word, right? Verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Did your soul ever melt with heaviness? Yeah, sometimes you just get overwhelmed with things in life, or, you know, people that you love get sick or fall asleep, and you get overwhelmed with heaviness. And so then it's according to God's word, he can help us. He pulls us out from all that stuff. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. We can always go to God. You know, it's kind of cool if you think about this. We can always go to God. And if you read some of the great prayers in the Bible, you know, the prayers of Daniel and the prayers of Moses and the prayers of Abraham, they'll remind God of his promises. They will. They'll say, okay, God, your word said this. So, okay, now it's, you know, when are you going to deliver this promise? What are you going to do about this promise? Right, Abraham said, okay, God, here I am. You promised that I would have, you know, a seed that would be numbered like the stars. I don't have a child yet. I don't have a son yet. I don't have an heir. What are you going to do about it? It's pretty bold, isn't it? But it was according to God's word, right? He went to God according to God's word, and he reminded him what he said. Daniel, when he was praying to God because they were in captivity for 70 years, he went to God and he said, okay, God, I know I'm not the best guy in the world. I've made mistakes, but you made promises to Moses and you said that they would eventually go into captivity. But you said after 70, whatever it was, years, you would get them out of captivity. And he prayed for it. And of course, then they got out of captivity. They went back to Jerusalem and Judea, and they rebuilt the walls and the temple and all that stuff. And he prayed for that. And he said, remember, God, your promise. Remember what you said. So we can remind God of what he has said. Let's go to 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. Again, you know, I'm sick. God, remember your promise that I could have health, that you would deliver me and that you would heal me? That's your promise, God. That's according to your word that I'm asking. God, I got this problem. I got to pay this bill. How am I going to do it? You promised that you would prosper me and take care of me. You're my sufficiency. So I'm asking according to your word. And of course, we always pray in the name of Jesus Christ because that's what we're told to do, because there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. But we pray according to his word. Verse 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. According to his word. That's what we do. According to God's word. Let's go back to Romans chapter 4. This is really the most practical and real thing that we ever learn about God and his word. The power of God, or the word of God, is the power of God to those that believe. And we go to God according to his word, and we get answers. And we go to God according to his word, and we know what to pray for. And we go to God according to his word, and we know what to believe and to believe for. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Great verse. Speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. You know, Abraham was this old guy, remember? He was 75. God said, well, you're going to have a son, and through that son, the Christ will come. And Abraham still didn't even have a son. He went all the way to be 100 years old before he had that son. But he kept believing God. He didn't quit. He didn't stop. He just stayed steadfast on what God told him. And it says he believed according to what was spoken to him. He didn't have a written word, but God spoke it to him. And he believed according to what was spoken. How cool. How great is that? Let's go to somewhere else. 1 John chapter 5. So we're to live, we're the just, we're the righteous, and we're to live by what? By believing. And believing what? God's word, according to God's word. When we go to God with a need or a request, we have to know what is available according to what he says to us. You know, in the Old Testament, he promised Abraham an heir. He promised Israel a promised land. We have promises too, don't we? We have all kinds of promises. He'll bless us. He'll protect us. He'll provide for us. He'll watch over us. Great stuff. 1 John chapter 5. I didn't go there. Sorry. Chapter 5 of 1 John. And verse 14. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." So, if it's in God's word, and he promises it, and we ask him, what does he say? He'll do it. It's according to his will. It's according to his will. His will is his word, right? His word is his will. His will is his word. It's according to his will. That's the only way we can truly know God's will is by his word. And then it says in verse 15, "And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." That's about as simple as it gets. You know, you don't have to sit there and pray endlessly, meaningless prayers. Which people do, right? Meaningless prayers. Or wonder if God's ever going to answer a prayer. Or not be sure. It says here, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth. And it goes on saying, we'll get the petitions we asked. According to his will, according to his word. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 28, and this is where the angel Gabriel came to Mary. It says in verse 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and his virgin's name was Mary." Gabriel is one of the archangels that's spoken of throughout the Bible. There's Gabriel and Michael. And Gabriel is God's special messenger. Whenever he has a special message he needs to deliver to somebody, it seems like he always sent Gabriel. He's the guy. And he's named. There's only a couple of angels named, him and Michael, and the other one would be Lucifer, who got kicked out. So Gabriel came to Mary. Verse 28, "And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." That's a pretty crazy thing to have happen. You know, you're there minding your own business, getting ready to get married, and this angel comes and said, "Here I am, you're highly favored by God," which means, you know, she was, it's from the word grace. "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." It means that she was disturbed. You know, she was, what's this all about? Right? "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Well, why would he say fear not? Because she must have been frightened. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. These are all incredible promises. And they go along with what was said in the Old Testament in the prophecy of the coming Christ, that he would inherit the throne of David forever. He made that promise to David. That's why it's so important here that it says David, right? And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, which is Israel. And of his kingdom there shall be what? No end. What, you know, Queen Elizabeth is the longest reigning queen in England in their history. And she's, what, 98 years old or something? And she's been queen since 1952 or 3 or something. And, you know, almost 50 or over 50 years she's been queen. It's just, you know, unheard of. But she's going to die. And then somebody else is going to take over. But the kingdom of Jesus Christ, or the throne, he'll be on a throne forever. There is no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And of course, theologians a lot of times don't know what to say about this, and God rejectors say, well, you know, why would God cohabit with a woman? But it doesn't say that. It says, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit will come on thee. And God created the whole heavens and the earth, right? He created it. So why couldn't he create a sperm in Mary? And there was nothing physical about it. He just created it. He just said, let it be. He spoke things into being in the beginning, and he can speak things into being now. So that's what he did. And behold, and it says, and he shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. See, just like that. According to thy, be it unto me, according to thy. She just accepted it. She said, okay, that's your word, God. That's your standard. That's what you're telling me. So, gotta be. I accept it. I believe. Be it unto me. That's the greatest attitude we can ever have. You know, be it unto me according to thy word. That's it, you know. Just put it in our brain. Be it unto me, God, according to thy word. How cool. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. This is a practical instruction to Titus from Paul. It says, put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and powers, to obey, to be ready to obey magistrates. That's not really in there in the Greek, but to obey, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving the divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. That's just natural man. And we all experience some of those things. Some more than others, probably. But after that, the kindness of the and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, referring to Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, we're heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's what he gave us, and it's according to his standard. He gave it to us. And let's go to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. And it says in chapter 4, verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. And the word suffer there means to endure. Wherefore let them endure according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. That's what we're to do. We're to keep our souls according to his will. And because he's a faithful creator, faithful God. So, you know, it's always according to his will. And when we keep that in our minds, when we pray to God, we want to pray according to his will. When we think about God, we want to be according to his will. When we receive information from God in one way or another, just my attitude is, be it unto me according to thy will. That's where we want to be in life. And then when we are, we're going to be blessed. It's going to be a great and wonderful time with him. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us according to thy word. Thank you for saving us according to thy word. Thank you for giving us such a great hope according to thy word, for putting that Holy Spirit within us. That was according to thy will. And we thank you for all the great promises you've made to us, that as we have needs and as we have situations in life, that we can go to your word, that we can see what is your will, and we can say to you, be it unto me according to your will. We just thank you for a great day ahead and for blessing us, for watching over us and keeping us safe. And we thank you in that great and powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.